On October 20th, 2020, one day before her 18th birthday, Jalaysia Finkley of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe was last seen getting into a rental car driven by a Florida man near her mother's home in New Bedford, Massachusetts. She was never seen alive again. This is a story of Jalaysia Finkley.
Hey guys, this is Ash.
This is Shiashi.
This is Maggie, and you're listening to We Are Resilient.
All right, so today I'm going to take you guys back to 2020. We all remember that year because it was the year of COVID, and there was a lot going on, lots in the news, but unfortunately, this is one of those cases that didn't really get a lot of coverage at the time. Or maybe it did get coverage and people just weren't paying attention because it was COVID. But I'm going to tell you about a young girl. Her name is Jalaysia Finkley, and she was known for her vibrant and bubbly personality. Now, she was just 17 years old, and she was a student at Barnstable High School in Massachusetts. She was an avid dancer, performer. She loved to sing, often sharing her passions on her social media accounts. She was described as a strong and supportive friend, someone who deeply cared for and championed the successes of those around her. Jalaysia was a member of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. They're from around Massachusetts, Rhode Island area. I went to their website, and the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, they're also known as the People of the First Light, has inhabited present-day Massachusetts and eastern Rhode Island for more than 12,000 years.
Oh, wow.
They were re-acknowledged as a federally recognized tribe in 2007. I'm not sure what a re-acknowledgement is.
They're pretty small if I'm thinking of the right tribe.
Yeah, I read they only have about 3,200 enrolled members.
Yeah, we've done some stuff with them for work. And I just remember when I looked them up to start that, I can recall just thinking about how small they were.
Yeah, just a little over 3,000. So that is fairly small. So on October 20th, 2020, one day before her 18th birthday, without any prior indication or warning, Jalaysia vanished, leaving behind all her belongings and leaving her small town in Massachusetts in shock. You see, that afternoon on October 20th, Jalaysia's mother told police she last saw her when she left to go fill a prescription around 4:50 p.m. The mother left to go fill a prescription. When she returned to her apartment in New Bedford, Jalaysia was gone. According to a police report, she was last seen getting into the front passenger seat of a 2020 Hyundai Elantra. I don't know cars. My God.
Hyundai.
Okay. Which had been rented from Logan Airport and was due to be returned the next day. According to surveillance, she remained in the car for about 20 minutes before it drove off. Her phone was later found discarded on Route I-40, about 5 miles from where she got into the vehicle. Surveillance video also shows that Jalaysia was left wearing only light clothing and slippers. Nothing to indicate she had planned to be gone for a very long time.
I was going to say, so she just left to go meet up with someone.
Yeah, that's initially what it looked like from their surveillance.
But where's the car parked?
It was leaving the apartment building. She was at her mother's apartment.
So they were sitting in the car at the apartment?
Yes.
Okay.
So in paperwork attached to a criminal complaint, a New Bedford police detective wrote that at the time Jalaysia disappeared, she was 5 months pregnant.
Oh.
Now keep in mind, she's only 17.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As first reported by the Cape Cod Times, Jalaysia underwent a medical procedure in Boston on the day she vanished. She was due to return to Boston the following day for another appointment. And it was that medical procedure, I guess, where her mom had left to go get the prescription for her. It never said specifically what the medical procedure was, just that she was supposed to return the next day to, complete it. The Cape Cod Times had reported that before her disappearance, Jalaysia had texted a friend and told them she was meeting up with a 37-year-old Florida man named Luis Barboza, also known as Luis Zaragoza. Now, that's a 20-year difference there that she's meeting up with this man.
That she just met on the internet?
Well, it didn't any of the any, I went through a ton of articles that I found, and nothing specified exactly how she knew this man or what their relationship was.
So she clearly wasn't with the father of the baby, right? Like in a relationship.
Well, here's the thing. So in doing some like internet sleuthing, you know, I got on Reddit. I went through Facebook, you know, because when we look at these cases, we go through like all the sources we can find, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, there was various threads and stuff on Facebook that alluded to the fact that even though reports had stated that there was no known relationship between the two, Zaragoza had been in a relationship with Jalasia's aunt.
Oh.
And at some point, that relationship ended and he began a relationship with Jalasia.
Who's 17?
Who's 17.
Who? This was her uncle?
No, he just was just dating her aunt at one point.
But I mean, like, had they got married, like, that would have been her uncle.
Well, yeah, had things progressed with the aunt, yeah, he would have been her uncle. But again, this is just internet sleuthing, because this case has really been kind of plagued with, like, rumors. And there's screenshots of text messages between Zaragoza and Jalasia that were really romantic in nature, so, you know, so to speak. But again, she was 17 and he was 37.
Yeah, that's just so weird.
If that's the case, this Zaragoza guy is clearly a pedophile.
She wasn't pregnant by him, was she?
Nothing specified that who the father of her baby was, but a lot of stuff alluded to the fact that the baby may have been his. I don't know for sure.
That's sad.
So authorities say, again, authorities had said that she had called Zaragoza's cell phone prior to being picked up by him, and it was the last time she used her cell phone. Cops had said that Zaragoza turned off his own cell phone minutes after she got into the car. So already, just that in itself is very suspicious. At some point, Zaragoza turned his phone back on, and investigators were able to kind of survey him and see where he was going. And he went everywhere in this rental car. You know, they're in Massachusetts, so he went up to New York, he went down to Florida, he went to Texas, then back to Florida. I mean, he did a lot of driving within a short time period. But in all that surveillance footage where they were able to find him, Jalasia was not seen in any of the footage. You know, they said even at one point he went somewhere to get something to eat, and he got a meal and one drink, and Jalasia wasn't with him. Now, on November 5th, New Bedford police were able to file charges of kidnapping and motor vehicle larceny against Zaragoza, because remember, he's in a rental car, and they were able to obtain a warrant for his arrest. On that same day, they were on their way to Florida to arrest him on the kidnapping and vehicle theft charges, when early that morning, he was killed in an apparent gun battle outside of McDonald's in Crestview, Florida.
What? Who was apprehending him?
They were coordinated with the police in Florida. So when they spotted him at the McDonald's, from what it reads to me is that he fired at him first, authorities fired back, and he was killed during that interaction. Jalasia was not with him. Now remember, she was last seen on October 20th. This is November 5th. She's still not with him. Now, it wouldn't be until 3 weeks later after this incident that Zaragoza was killed, that law enforcement investigated further and developed more information on the potential whereabouts of where Jalasia would be. And on November 25th, they found her body 1,400 miles away from her home in a field off Route 95. An autopsy performed at the District 19 Medical Examiner's Office in Fort Pierce showed Jalasia was shot twice in the head.
That's so terrible.
And again, she was 5 months pregnant. So Massachusetts state troopers were able to obtain a digital extraction of Zaragoza's cell phone, and a forensic analysis found that Zaragoza had typed up a note explaining the events on October 20th, the day she disappeared. And he had detailed his own depression and wrote that Jalasia was in his car in New Bedford when he snapped, quote unquote, snapped. And then he typed, "She is gone," and wrote detailed directions as to where her body could be found. Like turn by turn directions where her body could be found.
He wrote that up the day that he took her?
Not the day he took her, but he wrote
of the day.
Yeah, he was recounting what happened.
Yeah.
This is so bizarre.
It really is.
Clearly, they think he was implicit in something, because why else would he kill her? I mean, he kidnapped her, first of all, and then killed her. So, I mean, clearly, he was trying to make something go away.
Yeah, well, the kidnapping, I mean, I think that was evident, one, by the fact that when she had left, they said she was in light clothing and slippers. She didn't have, like, any bags or anything to indicate that she planned on leaving. And then the fact that her phone was found, you know, 5 miles away from where they had left. So, and the fact he turned off his own cell phone when they left. It just sounds to me like something happened early on, because local authorities had said they thought her remains had been there in that field anywhere from 20 to 30 days.
Oh, no. I just feel like, first of all, he was dating the aunt, set his sights on her, a young girl. So this had to have happened before she was 17, you know, like he noticed her and he just preyed on her.
Well, that and like not only the age difference, but how concerning is it that, you know, her aunt might have not really known like how terrible this person was and like probably introduced him to her. And gosh, you just never know. Like, you can't trust anyone.
You really can't. It's bad. And, you know, I guess not really knowing kind of what the future was going to entail, let alone him preying on her and grooming her. Because that's all that, you know, a 37-year-old and a 17-year-old. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's grooming. That's preying. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I thought it was interesting because, and the articles, the main articles that I looked up, there was nothing that directly connected how she knew this man or why she called him or texted him before he picked her up. Like why she was meeting, what the connection that was there. Like nothing highlighted that or detailed. Yeah.
Why did she go meet him? Why did she get in his car?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything in those main. It was only until I started getting in, like digging, like going through Facebook, going into like Reddit threads and just, you know, just that regular kind of internet sleuthing. You're trying to find information. And that's when all these pieces came together. Because I had read in multiple ones that he was dating the aunt. And then somehow he started some kind of relationship with him and Jalaysia happened. You know, again, that's just from people posting stuff and saying stuff and talking about rumors. They heard this. So none of that, I can sit here and definitively say, yeah, that's what it is.
Right. And we might never know because, you know, he was shot, killed after he murdered her. And like, so what's the true story? I don't know. And it's all speculation, of course, but could the baby have been his? And he just wasn't ready to face that reality of like, there's some consequences to this. I don't know.
There's really like, there's not going to be a lot of answers to those questions because the people that have that information are both gone, you know? So it's just, her family's just kind of left with all these what ifs and not knowing and not understanding and trying to figure out how this all played out. And they're really not going to get any of the answers that they need. You know, how do you get closure when it's like this?
So sad.
You know, and I guess you don't.
No.
It's just one of those things you just got to live with. I don't know. It's really sad. And when I was reading this, because I mean, you know, he was tracked going all across the United States. And I'm like, this is like height of COVID. There's so much going on.
I don't remember hearing anything about this.
No, I don't either. And I'm like, we already have enough barriers, you know, and enough going against us that we don't get enough media coverage as it is. But when you are combating a pandemic at the same time, like from what I read, it sounded like they were like surveilling her, but there wasn't enough of an outcry of people wanting to know where she is, if that makes sense. Like it sounded like the police were surveilling and doing, you know, what they're supposed to do, but like publicly people weren't really outraged or trying to find her. It didn't really get that traction that they felt that she deserved. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
On top of being a woman of color, then, or, you know, or you've got this COVID pandemic working against you as well. Because COVID, you know, I mean, we all know this. Everybody listening knows this. COVID took over everything.
Yeah. I mean, that was a scary time. And there was a lot of focus on just COVID itself. I can't believe this, something like this so tragic happened. And we all just never heard about it.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in doing some of the research, I mean, there's like, there is a clip where she did an interview. Jalaysia did an interview and she was just kind of talking about her like hopes for the future and, you know, excited about things to come. And she really did seem like she had a really friendly, bubbly personality and she liked to sing. You know, she had a whole life ahead of her. All these girls have such, you know, have all these good things or they're trying to better themselves and all these things that are just like within their reach, within their grasp. And it's taken away from them so quickly. It's just, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know, she's 17. She's pregnant. I mean, she had a life to live.
She did. And it was taken senselessly.
Now, the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe Police Department did release a statement following the discovery of her body that said, quote, "Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Jalaysia Finkley and our tribal community during this difficult time. It's a sad day for us all." And it really is a sad day for us all. Anytime one of our sisters is taken from us too soon. Thank you for listening to We Are Resilient. For links to information found for this episode, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at We Are Resilient Podcast. Send us an email at weareresilientpod@gmail.com or visit us at www.war-podcast.com.